Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Jefferson City Jays. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune. And for Trevor and I get things started this week, let's listen to a little bit of Trevor's conversation with Jefferson City head coach Damon Wells.
Start with last week, you get the win over Smith Cotton. So just what was the message to that, the team after that one, getting a win like that on homecoming?
It was great. The message was that they did a nice job avoiding all of the inevitable distractions associated with homecoming week, that showed a sign of maturity for them, and we're definitely going to have those things to keep getting better every week.
So moving into this week, speaking of distractions, a game against Crosstown Capital City, I would assume that brings a lot of distractions, so kind of the same thing. How do you avoid that this week?
You know, I think, again, I've been blessed to have been a part of a lot of programs with a lot of wins, and I think one of the keys with those types of programs is that, quite frankly, there really is no different game in the sense that we want to win them all. You know, that the big game idea doesn't really exist to us, that we hope to get better every single week and to continue to improve, and that's entirely our focus.
So defensive side of the ball, I would expect this is going to be a physical matchup, and it's going to come down to physicality and tackling at the end of the day. So just what have you been doing to make sure you guys are ready for that on Friday?
Well, we tackle every single day. And in addition to that, we make no mysteries of the fact that we want our brand of football to be a physical brand of football. So if that's what it turns into, we would embrace that, and I sure hope we would rise to the occasion. We're going to continue to get better and look forward to the opportunity Friday night presents.
All right, that was Jays head coach Damon Wells. And Trevor, as we like to do, let's look back before we look forward. So last week, the Jays get a 42-27 win versus Smith Cotton. Evens their season record at 2-2, evens their CMAC record at 1-1. So, you know, kind of one of those games where we kind of expected it to be a win. It seemed like maybe it was a little bit closer, but what was your feeling kind of as somebody who saw it? Did it feel that close to you, and what was kind of the characteristics of that game?
Yeah, I mean, there was some scary moments where it kind of looked like Sedalia Smith-Cotton was going to make it a game and maybe even come back and tie it at points. They would have liked it to be a wider margin of victory, but sure. I mean, there is positive takeaways of the fact that you have a young team that went in there, and when it wasn't pretty, they still found a way to get the job done in a week that is homecoming, so there is a lot of added distractions and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, you would have liked to win 42-0, but getting a close victory under your belt, especially heading into a game like this week, I think that's definitely a big takeaway from that.
So, I think I heard you talk about it when you came back to the newsroom to file your story that night. I think we're still concerned about tackling at this point in the season for the Jays, aren't we?
Yes, definitely. And, I mean, that's definitely something to look into for tonight as well, because it's another run-heavy attack. But Smith Cotton last week was running a lot of read options and just straight-up quarterback draws. And it took a while for the Jays to adjust to it. And they did. By the end of the game, they were limiting the big gains. But for the first, I would say, 2.5, 3 quarters, their quarterback, I think he ended with 180 rushing yards. So he was kind of just running all over them for a while. But like I said, they kind of started figuring that out. But tackling in space is still a major red flag at this point.
So, again, I think that's something I bring up about last week as we switch our focus to this week, because I think this is going to be another week where you're going to need to get better at that. Because so this week is the new rivalry that's now in its third year, but they'll be playing technically at Capital City, even though it's at Atkins Stadium, 7 o'clock tonight. Capital City comes in 3-1, 2-1. I think that's a little bit surprising. We've talked about it on the Capital City podcast a number of times, but I think when, you know, maybe the Jays had this on their schedule, I don't think a lot of people expected Cap City to come in this game being 3-1 at this point.
And they really should be 4-0. They had a 21-3 lead last week at Rockbridge, and turnovers, which has kind of been their bugaboo all season, really came back to bite them last week, and they ended up losing in overtime. But, yeah, I mean, it's a team that's going to try and run the ball down your throat. Mm-hmm. They have physical runners, and they have good athletes on that side of the ball, so... But it's one of those games where you don't really necessarily have to say anything to get the kids amped up for it. Like, it's a crosstown game. Like, whether the sides want to admit it or not,
right?
This game means more.
Well, and that's the sort of thing where, yeah, you don't think you should have to say anything, but it may still be worth noting for the Jays, hey, we got to tackle better. Because, again, this is going to be a run-heavy team. They're not going to do anything that we don't know that they're going to do. At this point, they kind of are who they are, and what they're going to want to do is kind of run right at you and just see if they can beat you man-on-man, and if your guy can't tackle them, then that's going to be a problem. And for a Jays team that's had problems with this year, that's got to be, I think, number one on the chalkboard all week long. It's got to be tackle, tackle, tackle.
Yeah, and that's something we talked about a lot this week. He mentioned that it doesn't really matter what scheme a team's running. If you're not being physical on defense and you're not tackling, you're not going to stop any scheme, which I agree with, but especially in this instance, they're not going to do anything really creative. They might throw the ball two or three times the whole game. So other than that, they're going to be just trying to impose their will, use their big guys up front, create lanes, and then, yeah, get to the second or third level of the defense and run through you. So you gotta bring the physical nature, and you got to wrap up. And, I mean, if you're facing a big physical runner like Hurley Jacobs, you got to hit him up.
Yeah.
There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Absolutely. You mentioned it, but yeah, these teams, these players, I'm sure, are very familiar with each other. They've all kind of grown up together. They're aware of who's got what, who's good on whose team, all that sort of stuff. And to be fair, the Jays have had the better of the first two meetings, as you might expect with a program in its infancy like Capital City. Expect that. This is year three, and I think we've already seen that things might be a little bit different this time around. One thing that's not different, I don't think, is maybe the confidence the Jays have going into this game. And then we start with the head coach. Coach Wells has said a couple things a couple times when you've talked to him recently that I found kind of surprising from the standpoint of, you know, the old adage is, you know, don't poke the bear or let sleeping dogs lie. He's kind of been real forthcoming with you about thinking, hey, it's not a rivalry until Capital City wins one. Well, this might be the year the Capital City wins one, so maybe don't anger them too much heading into this one.
Yeah, I mean, I've tried to kind of bait him into admitting it in some instances. Like, this one does feel different. I wasn't here for the feeling headed into the other games, but Looking at the final scores and the talent and just the final records of the season, you could easily tell that Jefferson City was going to win the previous two games.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily look like that this week. It's up for grabs. It could be either team's game. It just comes down to who plays better. But yeah, he's mentioned a couple different times that he doesn't really believe in rivalries, and if there were to be a rivalry, they would be the ones to say it is, and they haven't admitted it. So... whether they want to admit it or not, I do think that this is a rivalry, and I think this is going to be the first chapter of what's going to be a really good rivalry.
And I think that's the thing that I think that is kind of really interesting is, like you say, you see the first couple scores, you know, the first couple meetings they have, and it's a 36-0, a 42-7. Those are clearly not. I think I'd be a whole lot more surprised if I see a final score coming out of this game of that margin. I think this one's got all the hallmarks of this one is probably going to be, you know, a one or, you know, one score, maybe a 10-point game coming down the stretch where you figure, hey, this is still anybody's ball game. That would not surprise me at all tonight.
Yeah, I mean, if either team wins in a blowout, I'd be severely surprised tonight. But, I mean, it just comes down to the factor of, like I said, whoever is more sound in their scheme and just doesn't turn the ball over like Tom did said in his picks is probably going to win this game. And, I mean, I get where he's coming from. You really don't want to admit a program that has won two games prior to the season. Like, that's not your biggest rival. You don't want to say that.
Sure.
And I get that, but... I mean, you have to look at what Capital City has done and be impressed.
Sure,
because
absolutely.
Because nobody expected them to be at this point. And, I mean, whether they want to admit it or not, this would be a good win for Jefferson City.
Oh, yeah.
This would kind of eliminate a lot of the necessarily what people think like might be the issues with this Jays team so far. If they go ahead and they win this game, like that means they tackled well. Mm-hmm. That means they took care of the football.
Right.
And that means the offense stayed ahead of the sticks and moved the ball along basically for the whole game. So they said it's another week, but I definitely think this means a lot more to them than they want to put let out.
I think we know, you know, we've obviously talked about it enough probably at this point that what the Jays need to do on defense. When we flip the side and we go, what do the Jays need to do on offense? I think it becomes a little bit more of what you would think going into the season, or maybe if you'd looked at this maybe two games ago and go, I'll bet the Jays will be able to run against Capital City. Well, Capital City's, you know, I think, again, has surprised on both sides of the ball this year. So it may be easier than said than done, but how do you think that the Jays' offense, in terms of if this gets to be a shootout, how do you feel about their ability to put up points against Capital City and maybe win something where you're, you know, it could be a game, you know, 40s, 30s, somewhere around that, in that range?
Yeah, the Jays' offense has honestly worked really well for the most part this year. They've steadily been moving the balls, and they've got a lot more explosive plays than I thought they would coming into the season. But Wells did mention to me this week that he knows that they might have to get a little creative this week. He also followed that up with he doesn't want to get too creative because, you know, that's kind of a fine line
sure.
you have to have right there. But, I mean, they're going to be able to run the football. I mean, that's their MO. They're going to be able to do it every week. It's just a matter of, if there is points in the game where that gets stopped, are you able to do something else?
Right.
And, I mean, they've shown signs of being able to do it. Like, there's spurts. It's not, like, there's been mishaps, drop passes deep. But for the most part, when they try and scheme something up downfield, it's there.
Right.
So it just comes down to execution at the end of the day. And I do believe that they can do it. It's just whether when the going gets tough, that the kids are ready for that and handle being able to handle that adversity.
Right. I know that most coaches are pretty tight-lipped about this sort of thing, especially on a game where, you know, has the kind of added intrigue that this one does. But just in terms of what you've observed, how does it look for you in terms of the Jays, in terms of overall health of the team coming into this one? I know it's probably not going to be something where, you know, Coach Wells is going to jump out there and go, hey, this guy's hurt and this guy's hurt, because he's probably going to want to keep everything close to the vest this week. But have you noticed anything, or did you see anything last week that maybe was a cause for concern for the Jays?
Yeah, so he would not tell me about injuries this week. And this is definitely the one week I'll give him a pass on that.
Sure,
because
sure.
As many Jeff City people that are tuning into or reading or tuning into my stuff this week, there's probably just as many Capital City
sure.
People trying to get inside. But so I don't know for sure if anybody is missing this game. I know Kendrick Johnson, sophomore wide receiver last week, got hurt in the first half and didn't have pads on the rest of the game and didn't play the rest of the game. So there is a chance he might not be available. But other than that, I mean, Jacob Wilson at quarterback got a little bit banged up, but I'd be severely surprised if he doesn't play for this one.
Sure, absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, I can't tell you anything super insightful, but I believe that the Jays, I mean, I guess it could be one of two ways. There might be a severe injury that he's trying to cover up and bring out just a severe wild card that nobody's suspecting, or that they're going to be at full strength and he just doesn't want
yeah.
to know that.
Understandable. All right, I guess that gets us to the prediction point of the podcast. And how do you see this one playing out tonight?
It's going to be a physical game.
Yeah.
Me and Wells talked about it. It's going to come down to staying power, because he mentioned that the first 2 minutes of this game and the last 2 minutes are going to look a lot different. And I completely agree with that. In these type of games, everybody comes out and the energy level is just through the roof.
Sure.
And that burns kids out sometimes
yeah.
earlier in the game. So it's going to come down to depth, and I think Jefferson City has a little bit of advantage in that aspect, but, I mean, it could be anybody's game. I'm going to pick the Jays to win, even though I'm not 100% confident in that. I think it'll be in the 30s, so we'll go real close to one, a 35-34. A missed extra point's going to be the difference.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley, saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter at TrevHahn3. That's TrevHahn3. Thanks for listening.